afternoon. You're listening to Garden Planet for Selena and
Karen. How are we?
Very good, Karen.
I'm just trying to find my document at the moment.
Oh,
so,
well.
Right. No, it's there.
Okay. Maybe I will introduce what we're going to be talking about today.
Go on then.
Okay. Sun is shining. The plants are...
Sun is shining.
What are the plants doing?
The weather is...
While the sun is shining,
cool.
They are... photosynthesizing.
Oh, was I supposed to say that? What is going on with me today? Oh, my goodness. Yes.
They are getting down to business.
We are. And I'm going to get science-y again with you. Last week, you got a bit of a... You got the week off with that, with our paper talk. That was more history and, I guess, a lot of fun facts there, really. So well, that was great. Great session.
Yeah, I love finding out about stuff.
Something that we should all know about, really, and it's like this topic today, photosynthesis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the word photosynthesis comes from the Greek phos, light, and synthesis, putting together. And this is simply described as the conversion of light energy into chemical energy. Now, for some of you that are even thinking, what is she on about? Okay, photosynthesis is a process, because not everyone took biology at school. And some people are just really not interested. They're probably, well, hang on, why would they be listening to Garden Plant? Well, you need to know this anyway. It's all about plants and why they're green.
Mm.
Yeah. Not every plant has green on it, but most do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is all to do with this process of converting light energy into chemical energy. They would not be able to do it if they were not the colour green. And it is the chlorophyll pigment which makes them green. And this is where a lot of this process takes place. And I'm going to get into that. It's a process, photosynthesis is a process used by most plants, algae, and cyanobacteria. It is the process of photosynthesis that is largely responsible for producing and maintaining the oxygen content of the Earth's atmosphere, as well as supplying most of the energy necessary for life on planet Earth.
So no plants means no...
No oxygen or very... small.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't be moving and doing all the things that animals do or living organisms do without this injection of energy that the plants provide. So I don't know. Is that obvious to most? I don't know. I just thought it was, when you read it like that, I find it quite interesting. That in a, from the energy side of things. So it occurs, photosynthesis occurs in two stages. In the first stage, reactions capture the energy of light, known also as photons, and use it to make the energy storage molecules, ATP and NADPH. Now that's energy, where... Without, I know ATP, I did a bit of that at school and at uni. That's where, like, you just wouldn't be able, you wouldn't be able to metabolize or move or do anything without that energy. Adenine triphosphate, if I remember correctly. Can't remember what the NADPH one was, but it's all molecules that are all a part of your energy centers. Without them, you won't work. Further reactions take place during the second stage, which use these molecules to capture and reduce carbon dioxide to a carbohydrate. And in most cases, oxygen is released as a byproduct. So where I say reducing carbon dioxide, that is just a type of chemical reaction. It's where it's like an oxidative. It's reaction where they it's just a chemistry term. I won't get too much into that. But basically what happens is the carbon dioxide is turned to carbohydrate.
Okay.
And in each you have carbon.
Yeah.
Yeah. These carbohydrates are oxidised by way of cellular respiration. So that's what we do every day. We're breathing, and when we breathe, the carbohydrates in us burn. Yeah. They're oxidised, and then we're able to metabolise, move, yeah, live,
yeah,
all that. So, yeah, it's this released energy that fuels the organism's metabolic activities. So, basically speaking, the photosynthetic process revolves around the transfer of energy. Oh. So, it's, yeah, just a conversion of energy. That's pretty much how the world works in general, is the changing of one form of energy to another. When you drive a car, that's what's happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just thinking when listening to you talk about energy and stuff. During winter, when there's less light and maybe there's less greenery because maybe in some areas it snows, and people are generally more depressed or have less energy at that time. And maybe that's got to do with the lack of photosynthesizing going on.
Well, maybe they would be getting their energy sources, i.e. food,
yeah,
from other areas.
Yes, yeah, but they have stored all that.
But, yeah, I definitely, you know, for me, it's when you eat something fresh.
Yes.
It's like, it's really, it's almost like an instant if it's a yummy, vibrant, yeah, healthy piece of fruit or maybe a sweet pea or a piece of spinach or something like that. It's, and it's straight off the plant.
Yeah.
And that energy form is there, ready. It's almost transformative. I like the, yesterday I said to my son, because he was practicing his piano, which he doesn't do enough of, and I said, he was starting to glitch. I can't get it. I can't. It sucks. And I said, go and have a mandarin. Go out the back. I've still got a few on my bush. Go and grab yourself a mandarin, sit out there, eat it, and come back. And it was literally, I guess maybe just stepping away from the issue at hand helps as well. But, yeah, it was almost like an instant, just a little boost right there.
Yeah.
It's quite, I find the same thing. Sometimes just having a good fresh piece of fruit.
Yeah.
Nice. Even probably better than a coffee. Yeah. So photosynthesis is considered the opposite of cellular respiration. So we're respiring all the time, even in our sleep. And photosynthesis, the process, is the opposite
it's
of that.
Reversing. Yeah.
So while photosynthesis is a process of reduction of carbon dioxide to carbohydrate, cellular respiration is the oxidation of carbohydrate or other nutrients such as amino acids and fatty acids, because we burn those as well, to carbon dioxide. Photosynthesis and cellular respiration are distinct processes, which means they are completely separate processes, and they take place through different sequences of chemical reactions and in different cellular departments. Okay, so two very different department stores. So, yeah. The biochemistry of it all. So photosynthesis begins when photons are absorbed by chlorophyll-containing proteins. So the green that you see in leaves is in a protein that contains chlorophyll. You can't have, it's the only way that this pigment will sit. It has to be in this protein. And these proteins are called reaction centres.
Wow.
I can see Selena's glazing over right now. She's just like, wow. I can send you this report afterwards. You can read over it slowly in your own time.
Yeah, got to digest all that.
It is within these. Is it bringing back a bit of high school biology?
Yeah, cool. And chemistry.
It's good. It is within these protons, that these ones that contain the chlorophyll, that light-dependent reactions take place. So they also call them the light reaction.
Okay.
I don't know. And the other end of it where it happens, the other part two of the process, which happens at night, is called the dark reaction. Is that sounding familiar?
Oh.
Anyway, photons strip This is so cool. They strip electrons from suitable substances such as water, which is one of the reasons why we have to have water in our plants.
Yeah.
And it is the hydrogen freed, which is used to in the creation of the two ATP, or short-term energy stores.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what is happening is this light energy,
yes,
is splitting the water molecule, although yeah, there are the other molecules that will do the same too, but
yeah,
isn't that crazy? The only other time I've heard of splitting the water molecule is a, what's the reaction that they have with a nuclear, not fusion.
Fission.
Oh, no, fusion is when they split. Fission is when they bring them together, oh, I think. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. I have this picture in my head, correct me if I'm wrong, of like when rainbows are made and white light goes into a prism.
Yeah.
And then it turns into a rainbow. Is that kind of like what happens with photosynthesis?
No, that's like where light is split,
yeah,
because it's passed through this prism. That's all just photons going into different wavelengths.
Oh, okay.
That's what makes those colours.
Right.
This is like real chemistry.
Oh,
where you've
okay.
got like a water molecule.
Yeah. Changing into
splitting and forming different things.
Right.
And you would not be able to do it without the photons that you get from the sun.
Okay.
Which is the whole photo.
Yeah. So it's like a catalyst, maybe?
Yeah.
The green, the chlorophyll, would you say?
Oh, where the chlorophyll comes in.
Yeah.
I think that's just because the proteins that are in the leaves contain, I didn't get into the chemical form of chlorophyll.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know, good question. I see where you're going with that. What is it about the green? I just know that it's found in the proteins, the reaction centres.
Okay. Reaction centre cells.
That's what these proteins are called. I know, that's what's
funny.
You're going to look at a leaf after this discussion.
Look at all the reactions.
And that is what it is.
Funny.
Who would have thought, right? Yeah. So this energy, so you've got the energy now being, it's in the short-term energy like ATP. And this energy subsequently drives sequences of light-independent or dark reactions, which are part of what has been termed the Calvin cycle. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
This is named after the scientist Malvin Calvin.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Malvin Calvin. Who would do that? It's like, oh, never mind. It's like imagine if your parents called you Fran Chan.
Anne Chan.
I don't know. Anyway, that was in 1950, so not that long ago.
Mm.
So this is pretty, yeah. And he discovered it using the radioactive isotope carbon-14. And the carbohydrates, so it's gone from short-term energy, ATP, to more long-term energy, which is carbohydrates or glucose. And that is what we are wanting.
Yeah, because okay? We eat that.
It's what the plants are wanting, and it's what we're wanting because we eat plants.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening. Yep.
Amazing.
So you've got carbon dioxide, water, light, and then out of that comes sugar and oxygen.
Yeah.
And it's all on that.
Yeah. Sugar and oxygen.
All the molecules, I'm showing Selena my chemical equation.
And we breathe the oxygen.
6 carbon dioxide molecules, 6 water molecules, photons used to split all of that up.
Yeah.
And then you get your carbohydrates, which is C6H12O6, and then you get 6 oxygen molecules released.
Some people would call that magic.
It is, man. Fun facts. Have we got time for fun facts? Or shall we just go to your beautiful green plant of the week?
Okay.
And then if we've got time, I've got a few fun facts for you.
My plan of the week won't take that long, but let's go to it.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch.
Okay. Our plant of the week belongs to the beetroot family, but it's not a beetroot.
Yeah.
It has crinkly leaves. Whoa. And you eat it. What do you reckon?
It's going to be a leafy crop.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comes in different colours too.
But I know what it is. I just don't want to give it away. Can I give it away?
Yeah,
okay, silver beet?
Yeah.
But it's weird because I always think of beets as being like in the ground. Like turnips. Is a turnip? Oh, no, I don't know.
A silver beet, yes, but it's the leaves that... It is part of the beetroot family. You can actually eat beetroot leaves.
What else is in the beetroot family? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Sorry,
okay, I'm going to Google it. Keep talking.
I have to look that up. Silver beet also is known as Swiss chard, although we don't really call it that.
Yeah.
Or rhubarb chard. We eat the leaves, which are beautiful, crinkly photosynthesis reactioning centres.
Yes.
They do come in different colours, though, but not the leaf, the stem part of it. It can be silvery white, hence silver beet, or yellow or red.
Yes.
And other people call them the rainbow chard because of these bright stem colours. And if you think of beetroot, it does look like a miniature silver beet, but with red-stemmed...
leaf-wise.
Yeah, if you look at it closely. It's just a miniature version of it. You can eat the leaves of beetroot, but we're looking at silver beet, which has massive, crinkly, beautiful leaves, and they're very tasty, probably not as tasty as spinach, but still edible and yummy.
I'm enjoying silver beet more now than I did when I was younger. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a strong taste.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it.
So you can eat it cooked or raw, but I think I prefer it cooked with a bit of maybe stir-fry Chinese style, like you can steam it, blanch it.
Yes.
Add a bit of maybe lemon or...
Have you ever eaten it raw?
I'm not really a fan of eating raw leaves myself, but you can. It might be...
You can?
Yeah. You can use it in salads. Like a cabbage.
Yeah, all right, okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not really the taste you're after.
I think I like it steamed a bit.
Yeah.
You know, blanched.
It's quite a versatile plant.
Yeah. And very green.
Very green.
The crumpled leaves. I don't know what the story is with that crumpled leaves. Because other plant
weird,
seems
when
to,
you think of it. Yeah.
Maybe it's more surface area.
It would be something like that. Yeah. It's just the way it is.
Kale is sort of like that as well.
Yeah.
Even more so. That might have something to do with those reaction centres that you're talking about. Just maybe gives you more energy. I don't know. It's very easy to grow, and you can grow it year-round, especially in frost-free places like Auckland. So you can sow it in spring or summer and have a supply of leaves all year round, because when you're picking the leaves, you're picking the outside parts of it, grows in a sort of clumpy. You don't pick the middle because it'll keep growing. So you just pick the outside. And more tips, I would recommend feeding it with sort of nitrogen type things that will give it nice green leaves.
Yeah.
So maybe seaweed or blood and bone.
I just found something interesting about... is it a part of the Araminth family?
No. I said beetroot family, Karen.
Yeah, sorry,
that's
I'm
similar.
Off track. Totally off
Araminth
track.
Araminth is also a yummy veggie that you can eat. The leaves.
Anyway, never mind.
Anyway.
My studies, I need to do that in my own time. Right, carry on.
Okay, so... Actually, a lot of people plant this as an ornamental in their flower garden because the leaves are just beautiful, and because they come in different colours, the stems, like they can be yellow, orange or red, they can complement the flowers.
Yeah.
So you have a think about...
And easy to grow.
Yeah, adding it into your flower beds, and you can also...
And it's a good time to... I'm glad you, brought it up because now would, because it's a good winter crop or cooler weather?
Yeah, and it grows year-round.
Yeah.
I think you don't want it to flower because you want it to have it for the leaves, right? So any flower stems that form, you just cut them off and you'll keep getting the leaves from it. It's one of those cut-and-come-again plants like lettuce.
Yeah.
So you'd leave some leaves in the middle.
Do you need to water it quite, does it? Is it a thirsty?
It likes to have its soil moist, so let it dry out because then you'll get better leaves, you know. You might get more greener leaves if you water it, keep it moist. It's a good intercrop because it fits in nicely with other plants. It doesn't take up too
just goes
much
up.
Space. Yeah. It's just a beautiful plant and very easy.
I'm really glad you mentioned that plant.
And when the seeds, the funny thing about the seeds is the little capsules that they come in have like about four seeds to a capsule, so you're actually planting four seeds in one time if you're getting those little, little bumpy seeds. So you get about four plants.
Oh, wow,
you
coming out of
it. You can thin them out, but I think maybe it gives it a bit more survival. to have friends around.
Maybe it's designed that way for a reason.
Yeah. So interesting plant. I just like, I'm a big fan of it. Very easy. You can just leave it and you'll just have it all the time. It's one of those sort of perennial type plants.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, you've inspired me with that because my spinach has died. Yeah. Maybe I'll get some.
I think I like it better than kale.
Oh, yeah.
Kale's
hands
a
down
bit bitter.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not a fan. Not a fan. I'm not a part of the kale movement. Sorry. It's pretty.
Yeah.
It's a pretty plant, but
so
pretty disgusting.
Beginner gardeners, I would advise get some silver beet seedlings in. You can grow easily from seed, but even if you don't grow from seed and just get the punnet seedlings, pop them in.
Yeah.
Give it a go.
You'll be fine. It's a no fuss plant. Go for it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Get in the ground.
Okay. What else have we got?
We've got a bit of time?
Yeah.
All right. So here are a few fun facts about our photosynthesis. Today, the average rate of energy capture by photosynthesis globally is approximately 130 terawatts. What does that mean exactly? Not much to me, but this will mean more to you after you hear this.
What?
Which is about eight times the current power consumption of human civilization.
What?
So, that's crazy.
That's huge.
When you think of it, like how much like work they're doing energy-wise.
Yeah, they're a big powerhouse, aren't they?
Yeah. Photosynthetic organisms also convert around 100 billion tons of carbon into biomass per year. I think when it says organisms, as an organism, no, that cannot be a plant. Is an organism anything that's
any
not
living thing?
Oh, it's any living thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so that includes the cyanobacteria, plants, and algae.
Yeah.
So, 100 billion tons they convert into biomass.
Hard workers, these plants.
They're doing it right now. Look out the window. There they are, hard at it. The phenomenon that plants receive some energy from light in addition to air, soil and water was actually first discovered in 1779 by a Dutch biologist. So he kind of tweaked that there was more going on than just in the soil. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you know, Dutch.
Yeah.
They're a bit out of it. And most organisms that utilise oxygenic photosynthesis use visible light for the light-dependent reactions, okay, that first part of the process.
Yeah.
Although at least three use short-wave, infrared or far-red radiation.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So there's a few organisms, if you pop them under like red infrared light, they'd be fine.
Oh, okay.
Maybe along with your guanas.
Guanas?
Aren't they? It's those lizards that like to be in like red. Isn't there some lizard or something? Oh. When you go to the zoo, there's this.
Chameleons?
Maybe they've got some plants in there. That would be a crazy world, wouldn't it?
Mm. There are some really green-looking lizards there. You're wondering, are they photosynthesizing as well?
Well, anyway, so I just had a few little fun facts there.
Oh, can I add a fun fact? Well, I was reading in the Guinness World Record book
yeah.
that the biggest leaf, like the biggest undivided leaf,
yeah.
is from the Olocasia plant, and it's like a huge giant taro. You know taro?
Yeah, massive.
Yeah, it's massive. It's like at least 8 feet long. Well, they said the size of a king-size bed. Imagine how huge that leaf is.
That's cool.
Yeah. And they also mentioned a plant called the raffia palm, grows in the tropics.
Yeah.
Giant.
Like, how do you know all this?
Guinness Book of Records.
Oh, you're a librarian. Right, okay.
yeah, and those huge, big lily pads, the Amazonian.
Yeah.
Yeah, the water lily.
If I wasn't like close to 60 kilograms, I would just love to just hop along yeah. all those lovely little lily pads from one side to the other. Wouldn't that be super
yeah.
cool?
Yeah.
So, I just know that if I did that, I'd be like, plonk. Like, that was not how I envisaged it. How big do those lily pads get?
You couldn't fit small children on them and they'd just float around. I bet they talk about feet and meters, so I sometimes get a bit confused. But they were in the vicinity of 30 feet.
30 feet?
Yeah.
A lily pad?
Yeah. I don't know. That's huge.
That's like maybe 10 meters?
Yeah, something like that.
Are you kidding me? That's like bigger than this room. Well, I think can we maybe double check that
yeah.
one?
I'll double check that one for you.
Anyway, I've just discovered on Google chlorophyll, your question about green.
Yes.
I can't believe I didn't really say, yeah. Chlorophyll gives plants their green colour, this is what Google says, because it does not absorb the green wavelengths of white light. That particular light wavelength is reflected from the plant, so it appears green.
I thought it had something to do with a rainbow, I don't know.
Anyway.
The process.
There you go. Great question, Selena.
Because otherwise, imagine if all the plants' leaves colours were blue.
So it's just
pink.
A pigment, but yeah, there's something key to it. Yeah, we'll look into that. Great question.
I'm thinking our silver beetle, you know, the leafy part
is
green.
That's true. I would say it's something about maximising that photon absorption.
Yeah.
It'll have something to do with that.
Green is right in the middle of that rainbow, right?
Ah.
So maybe...
Interesting.
That's something to do with it.
We could talk about this for hours. It's interesting. See? Yeah. All right, guys.
Well, we have reached the end of our photosynthesizing, but it will carry on without us.
Thanks for listening and take care.
And go grow some silver beet.
Definitely. Easy as.
Happy gardening, everyone.
See you later. Ka kite anō.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week. Dove. Positive feeling, that's the power of love.